your words on a page. And I began to go a little bit deeper because I didn't want to just read God's Word as a bunch of cool stories and things that we see Jesus do. But I wanted to be able to read those stories and see what they had to do with me. And you know what I found is this. What I began to learn is that God's Word was written with me in mind. That it's for my good. And it's a guide for me to succeed in this game called life. And this morning I want to let you in on a little bit of a secret. God's Word was also written with you in mind. That the same benefits and promises that I have found to be true in my life, that I have found in God's Word, are the same benefits and promises that are available to you if we will open this book. And so this morning, I just want to take a little bit of time to talk to you about Scripture and how if we will open God's Word more than just on Sundays or when we go to our small groups or whatever, how it will completely transform the way you live your life. You see, it's more than just words. Okay, so we're going to dig into that a little bit. Let's pray, and we'll kind of jump in. Lord God, I pray now that Your Word would go forth and that it would not return void, but that it would accomplish that for which it was sent. Lord, would You just hide me behind Your cross? It's all about You this morning. And God, challenge us to be more into the Word when we leave than we are right now. Lord, we love You. We give You glory and honor and praise forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen. I was going to begin this morning by asking you a few questions, which I still will. But for some reason, the questions I was going to ask you reminded me or kept reminding me of a running joke that Misty and I have in our house. So I thought y'all might get a kick out of it, because I'm almost willing to bet you've probably heard this or somebody has said this to you multiple times. But our running joke is, you know, somebody will walk up to us and say something like, well, they say if you do this, then you'll live longer. Or they say if you have a migraine headache, if you put your finger in your ear and one on your head and push real hard, you know, it'll go away. You know, y'all know what I'm talking about? Somebody will walk up to it. Well, they say if you do that. So Misty actually did some research, and we found some what they say. So here's some of them. First of all, they say licking a stamp is 1/10 of a calorie. So apparently, if you're on a 2,000 calorie diet, lick 20,000 stamps and you got it. Or they say apple cider vinegar helps an itchy, flaky scalp. And my question is this, like, who is it that figured this out? You know, some guy sitting at a table and he's like, man, my head itches. His wife's like, well, go look in the medicine cabinet. I'll just look in the food pantry. Wow, apple cider vinegar, well, you know, kind of thing. Another one, this is kind of interesting. Cinnamon sticks on the windowsill, they say, will keep the ants out. Don't know. My experience has been when there's food around, you have an ant problem. So I don't know about that one. They say yoga helps clear up acne. I don't have nothing to say about that. I'm not. This one's kind of interesting. They say to clean your toilet, drop 2 denture cleaning tablets in the water and let it sit overnight and then flush in the morning. So, if you have dentures, you could save some money and stop buying Comet, I guess. Another one. They say to cure your hiccups, swallow a big glass of water while at the same time holding your ears and your nose shut. And Misty and I are like trying to figure out, how do you do this? How is that even possible? So, I don't know, you can try it at home, try to figure it out. And then the last one, this one actually happened. Misty came to bed one night and all this, and she had all this like pink stuff like all over her face, you know, and all of this, and being the loving husband that I am, I'm like, what in the world happened to you? You know? And she said, well, they say to dry up pimples, put anti-diarrhea medicine on them. And so I said, well, I say, since you have anti-diarrhea medicine on your face, you get no kiss tonight. So, yeah, I guess it works. I don't know, whatever. All right, let me ask you a few questions. How long can an average person go without food? It's part of the they. They say they say 2 to 3 months. 40 to 80 days you can go without food. How long can a person go without water? Man, you are a part of the they group. They say 4 to 12 days. And how long can a person go without breath? Just minutes, right? I have a cousin who is an ex-Navy SEAL, one of the most highly trained military forces in our military. And I asked him one time, you know, how long could you hold your breath? And he said the longest that one of the guys that was trained as a Navy SEAL held his breath was 4 minutes tops. So average, you and I, minute and a half maybe. So, but just minutes. The point is this, that we need breath to survive, correct? So let's look at 2 Timothy 3:16. Real quick, it says this, all Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Listen, this is more than just words on a page. This is the very breath of God Almighty Himself. And we need the breath of God if we're going to survive this life. See, if in fact the Bible is the very breath of God, I wonder how many of us are living in a spiritually oxygen-depleted atmosphere. Or in other words, we're just spiritually suffocating because we're not spending enough time breathing in the words of God. Let's look at Ezekiel. Flip over to Ezekiel 37. And let's look at this passage again. I'm going to be reading it out of a different version than what was up there. It says this, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and He set me in the middle of a valley full of bones. And He led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And He asked me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Sovereign Lord, only You alone know. And He said to me, prophesy, which... let me just say, prophesy means speak. Your breath, using your breath. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the words of the Lord. This is what the Sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. And I will put breath in you and you will come to life. And then you will know that I am the Lord. And so I spoke, or I prophesied, as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I looked, and tendons and flesh appeared on them, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. And then He said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, Son of Man, and say to it, this is what the Sovereign Lord says, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe into the slain that they may live. And so I prophesied as He commanded, and breath entered them. And they came to life and stood on their feet, a vast army. So according to these verses, what was it that made these dry bones come to life? It was the breath, right? The breath of God brought them to life. The breath of God transformed a bunch of random, dry, dead bones into this huge, vast, living army. You see, there's power in God's breath. There's power in the breath of God for us this morning. And so what I want us to do is I want to show you just four things that the breath does for us. The first thing is this, that the breath gives us understanding. It gives us understanding. Back in our passage, verse 3, it says, "Can these bones live?" And Ezekiel answered, "O sovereign Lord, only you alone know." He's saying, I don't have the answer to this, God. I don't understand it. All I see is a bunch of dry, dead bones. I don't understand how they can come to life, but I know you understand it. How many of you have ever felt that way? Where you've gone through a really tough season in your life, and you don't really understand why you're going through those things. Could it be that you don't understand because you're not in God's Word? When you're going through a tough time, do you open the Word of God? Because I guarantee you, He understands what you're going through, and He wants to help if you'll open the Word of God. It says in Job 32:8, "But it is the spirit in a man, the breath of the Almighty, that gives him understanding." So what gives us understanding? It's the breath of the Almighty. And what is that? It's the Word of God. It's God breathed. It's what gives us understanding. Madison, my daughter, sometimes we have to discipline her when she breaks the rules that Misty and I have set up. She's blushing. She didn't want me to tell the story. But when she gets in trouble, this is kind of how it works. We send her to her room, and that's where she gets her spankings. So after her spanking, I'll leave her in there for a few minutes or whatever and let her think about things. And then I'll come back in, and I'll just sit down on the bed, and I'll say, "Madison, come close." And she'll kind of pop her head up out of her covers because she, you know, buries herself in her covers, and I'll say, "No, come closer." And so she'll get out of bed and come over and stand by me, and I'll say, "No, I want you to come really close." And by this time, she'll kind of stand right in front of me, so close that she can feel my breath. And I'll just kind of lay my head on her forehead, and I'll say, "Madison, I love you. Do you understand?" And she'll say, "Yeah, Daddy, I understand." Here's the point. It's only when you come close to the breath of God, when you draw close enough to the breath of God, that you'll gain that understanding. That you'll gain understanding to what He's trying to do in your life. But see, here's the thing, is that we say things like, "Man, I just don't understand what God wants from me." But you would understand if you would read the Word, if you would open the Word and come close to the breath of God. Because you could read things like Acts 17 that says, "For one man was made every nation of men, that they should inhabit the whole earth. And He determined the times set for them and the exact places where they should live. And God did this, so God has put you at this moment in time, at this exact place, and He did this." Listen, this is what He wants from us. "He did this so that we would seek Him. And perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from each one of us." You want to know what God wants from you? It's in His breath. Some of us say, "Man, I feel like such a failure. It doesn't seem like I do anything right. I just want to succeed in life." If we'll open up God's Word, we'll find passages like Joshua 1:8 that says, "Do not let this book," the breath of God, "do not let this book depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, and be careful to do everything that is written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful." It's in His breath that gives us understanding. You know what happens when we don't understand something is we start to get stressed out. And when we start to stress out, then we start to panic. And then when we start to panic, we start making very bad decisions to which we have to live with for the rest of our life. But the truth is this, that if you aren't in, if you're not in God's Word every day, and something comes along and just rocks your world, you will start to stress out and panic and make decisions that otherwise you wouldn't have made. But the truth is this, that if you will get into God's Word, when those times come that completely rock your world, and they will come, the Bible says, Jesus says, you will have trouble. It's inevitable. We're all going to go through times where our world gets rocked. But when you're in the Word of God, then you'll see it'll be a different reaction from you. You'll be able to say, man, I get it. I understand, and I'm able to deal with what's going on. I have a close friend of mine. We grew up at coming out of the youth ministry at Oakview Baptist Church. Matter of fact, we surrendered to ministry at the same youth camp out of Mount Lebanon Baptist Encampment. And the same night we surrendered, I found out he surrendered, and I went to him and said, hey, let's do this together. You know, we'll keep each other accountable and kind of walk through this together. And so we did, and God actually allowed us to minister together for about 5 years. We traveled and did some things on the road and did prison ministry together. And then after about 5 years, we met our wives and kind of went our own way and did other ministries. And he ended up planting a church in Frisco, Texas, here just up the road from us, Providence Church, there in Frisco. And about 4 months ago, I was out with my father and a couple friends, and we just kind of got away for sabbatical purposes and took our guitars and Bibles and just worshiped and prayed and just tried to get refreshed. And I got a text message, and it said, pray for Barry. He's in the ICU, sick. And so we're like, oh, you know, we're going to go back and pray, you know, hoping everything's okay. We didn't have much detail. I just texted the guy back that texted me and said, keep me up to date with what's going on. And so we just went back and we prayed for him and all of this, and kind of went about our business. The next morning, about 10 o'clock, my mother called and told us, Barry died this morning. And my world was rocked. I couldn't believe it. 31 years old, young wife, 3-year-old son, 1-year-old daughter, a church that he was ministering at, and it was gone. And I couldn't comprehend what was going on. But luckily, being where we were at, and we were in God's Word and worshiping and stuff, I'd read passages such as Psalms 116:15 that says, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. As a matter of fact, this is the part of the eulogy that was read at his funeral. It was this: precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Saints will not die prematurely, but they will be immortal until their work is done. When their time comes to die, their deaths will be precious. The Lord watches over their deathbeds, smooths their pillows, sustains their hearts, and receives their souls. Those who are redeemed with the priceless blood are so cherished by God that even their deaths are precious to Him. The deathbed of the saints are precious to the church as well, for she often learns much from them. They are precious to believers and those who treasure the last words of the departed. They are most precious to the Lord, for He views the triumph deaths of the gracious ones as a sacred delight. If we have walked before Him in the land of the living, we need not fear to die before Him when the hour of our departure is at hand. Bottom line is this, that the death of Barry rocked my world, but the breath of God gave me understanding to be able to deal with it. When our world gets rocked, you'll be in the breath of God, you'll be able to deal with it. Because He understands what we're going through. Here's number two. Second thing it does for us is the breath of God gives order. In verse 7 in our passage in Ezekiel, it says, I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling noise sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. I don't know if you caught this earlier when we read it. But this was a valley of dry bones. It wasn't a bunch of skeletons. Okay? It was a bunch of scattered dry bones everywhere. And it was only when the Word came, the breath of God came, that there was a loud sound and the bones began to move and come together, forming skeletons. They came bone to bone. It says in Psalm 33:6, by the Word of the Lord the heavens were made, their starry host by the breath of His mouth. When the breath of God comes, the stars were made. The heavens were made. Genesis 1:3, God said, let there be light. Right? This is an amazing thought to me. Because, you see, He spoke it, and then it happened. See, think about it. When you speak, you use your breath, right? And so when God spoke the words, let there be light, His breath came out, and when it did, His breath created that which was spoken. There's power in the breath of God. This Bible is not just words, it's the very breath of God, and it has power for you and me today. And what this means is this, that since all Scripture is God-breathed, it has the power to speak into existence the things that God wants in our lives. Isaiah 55:11 says, so is my word that goes forth out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty. See, there's no wasted words when God speaks. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. When we read the Word of God, there is a power that is released to bring into existence in your life the very thing that you're reading about. Or maybe what somebody is speaking to you. And this is what I mean. When my friend Barry died, I was in search of peace. And as I read Psalms 116:15, that became a word of peace to me. It's as if God said, peace. Not go get some peace, because you can't have something that wasn't given to you. But instead He said peace, or have peace, or I'm giving you peace. You see, when He said peace, the breath of God created peace in me. And He put things back in order. Where I was confused about the death of my friend, The Word of God brought order back into my life in the form of peace. If you have doubts about God or doubts about who you are in Christ, you can go to Scripture and read something like Romans 10:17 that says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of God. You see, the breath of God says, have faith. I'm giving you faith. Therefore, creating faith in you and bringing order to your life in the form of faith to replace the disorder of doubt that was in your life. Where you have unconfessed sins, He says in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I will forgive their sins. Bringing order to your life in the form of forgiveness. Where you had a disorder of unconfessed sins in your life. Maybe for you, you deal with depression. And you can go to Psalms 119:111. It says, your word is my heritage forever. They are the joy of my heart. And He brings order back into your life in the form of joy to replace the disorder of depression that was there. It's all in His breath if we will draw near to it. Really get serious about His Word. Any area of our life where there is disorder, His breath has the power to create in us something that will transform us and bring order back to our life. third thing is this. The next two are going to be pretty short. We'll get through these pretty quick. The third thing is this. The breath of God gives us strength. Verse 8 in our Ezekiel passage says, I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them. It's talking about tendons. Tendons are the things in our body that gives our body strength. When I was a junior in high school, I hurt my ankle playing basketball pretty badly, and I hurt my Achilles tendon. And all through my junior year, I wore an air cast on my foot to until that my ankle healed up. See, it was the Achilles tendon that gave my foot strength. But when I hurt it, I didn't have any strength in it. The tendons give us strength in our body. And that's what God's Word does for it. It gives us the strength to make it through the things that we make it or need to get through in our lives. There's a passage in Exodus. It's called the Song of Moses. Exodus 15, and actually this song is referred to in the book of Revelations as the song we'll sing in heaven, so you might want to learn it. Anyway, Exodus 15, verse 8 through 10, this is you'll kind of catch what he's talking about. He's talking about the parting of the Red Sea here. It says, by the blast of your nostrils, the waters piled up. The surging waters stood firm like a wall. The deep waters congealed in the heart of the sea. But the enemy boasted, I will pursue and I will overtake them. I will divide their spoils and I will gorge myself on them. I will draw my sword and my hand will destroy them. But you blew with your breath and the sea covered them and it sank like lead and they sank like lead on the mighty waters. You see, there's strength. Do you hear the strength and the power in God's Word and in His breath? You know how He parted the Red Sea? It's not like He waved His hands. The Scripture says He just did this. Right? With a blast of His nostrils, He just... And it was like... Whoop, you know? And all this. And so they cross on dry water and the enemy comes after them and... You know, they're like, oh, what's going to happen now? And God says, watch. And all of a sudden, whoosh, just wipes them all out. Right? There's strength in His Word. And so my question this morning is, do you have a Red Sea in your life? Do you have that thing that you just can't seem to get over? That thing, that problem that you can't get past or a circumstance that has stopped you in your tracks and it doesn't... To you, it feels like there's no way to escape. My second question would be, do you want your Red Sea parted? Because I know how you can get it parted. If you will open up the Word of God, His breath will part your Red Sea no matter what it is, no matter what your circumstance is, no matter what you're going through today, He will part it and get you into the promised land where He promised you you would be. But the key is to get into His Word. It gives us strength. The final thing is this, that the breath of God gives life. Verse 10 in Ezekiel says this, breath entered them and they came to life. You see, this book is a matter of life and death. Without the breath, those bones were just dry, dead bones. But when God's breath entered them, they became a huge, vast army of warriors for Him. Here's the thing. I wonder how many Christians are spiritually suffocating today while the breath of God is sitting on their nightstand collecting dust. Because we're not breathing it in the way we should. It says in Proverbs 4, 2022. My son, pay attention to what I say. Listen closely to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them in your heart, for they are life to those who find them, and health to a man's whole body. And then Genesis 2:7 says, "The Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." See, it was the breath of God who gave Adam life. It's the breath of God who gives us life. And so I want to take us back to where we started. We said, all Scripture is God-breathed. In Job 33:4, it says, "The Spirit of God has made me, and the breath of the Almighty gives me life." You see, it's the same breath that gave Adam life. That's the same breath that brought this Word to life. The Bible says this Word is living and active. And it's the same breath that breathed in to Adam and gave him life. It's the same breath. So I just want to wrap up with this. And I don't do this to be weird, but just to maybe kind of give you a picture. But I just want you to kind of see what goes on. Pastor Steve does this as well. Anybody that steps up here, this is kind of the picture of what happens. As I was preparing this, all week long I was doing things like this. I was inhaling the breath of God and allowing Him to speak to my heart and to give me the Word so that I could come before you this morning and go, that you might receive what it is that God wants you to hear this morning. And it's exactly what Pastor Steve does all week. He sits in his office and he inhales the Word of God so that he can exhale it on us and we can get the message that God is trying to convey to us each week. The problem is this, that we can't just breathe once a week, right? We can't just show up on Sunday and breathe physically, right? We'll die. But the same is true spiritually. You can't just breathe in God's Word one day a week. It's got to be a daily thing. It's kind of like the Word is spiritual CPR to us, right? CPR is when a person who is lifeless is filled with the breath of another, giving that person life again. You see, without the Word, we're lifeless. And we're in need of breath. And when we read the Word of God, His breath fills us up and gives us life. But we have to keep breathing it in every single day. So that's my challenge to us this morning, is don't just be a casual breather where you just breathe on Sundays and you just breathe on Wednesdays or whenever you go to a small group. But every day we breathe in the Word of God, because it's the Word of God that gives us understanding. It's the Word of God that brings things back to order in our life. It's the Word of God that gives us strength. And it's the Word of God that gives us life. Amen? Let's pray. Father God, I just thank You for this moment. Not that I get to get up here and do anything fancy, but God, that You are glorified. And Lord, I pray now that in this moment that You will make us so hungry and so thirsty and so desperate for Your Word that would be all that we think about this week. That we would make it a priority to breathe in Your Word, God, because it's life to us. It's our strength. It's what gives us order, and it's what gives us understanding. Lord, would You do that for us? Make us hungry for Your Word. Lord, I pray now that if there's any in this place that needs a touch from You, that they wouldn't leave this place, that they would come forward and find someone to talk to and come for prayer. Lord, protect us as we leave this place. We love You, Lord, and it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. You're dismissed. Thanks for coming this morning.